Former MLB outfielder Doug Glanville talking about the Guardians' chances there. You asked the question, do you give them a chance if the Guardians get past the Yankees? Do you make a chance against the Dodgers? And it's so funny, the Dodgers in about four games have changed a lot of opinions on them because they're getting just enough pitching. And more importantly, Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani are on a different plane. Last night, Mookie went, I think he had four hits, four ribbies, and three runs scored, and a home run. And Ohtani was like the afterthought, and Ohtani had hit a home run as well.
It's unbelievable. I mean, when you look at Shohei Ohtani finally getting a chance to play in the playoffs, and he's proving why he is one of the best baseball players, maybe of all time. I mean, he's a two-headed monster. If he's ever given the chance to ever get back on the mound, it's very, very scary. But then when you add in Mookie Betts, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. They are the dynamic duo for that organization, and they're propelling the Dodgers into what we saw all season long, the best baseball team in baseball.
Well, and that's why I just think tonight's game, this is your moment. Like, you know, last night's moments were John Kensie's home run and David Fry. And by the way, Avila's, his work,
yes.
Andrew Walter's work. Like, it's so funny. If you focus on anybody specifically last night, inevitably you're forgetting somebody else who did something monstrous.
Well, so start with it, right? Kyle Manzardo.
Manzardo the Gardo.
Yeah. Two-run homer puts the guards up by 2-1. Well, I mean, that's huge.
Well, and I just think where you're at, you know, I think I really agree with what Harold Reynolds said, which is the pressure's all in the Yankees. We'll get more to that in a second. But that's what tonight is. You know, like last night gave you the opportunity to get back in the series. Today is about taking advantage of the series.
Correct.
And because then all of a sudden you've got even less pressure going into the third game in Cleveland, game five. And I'll be honest with you. I think the Yankees have been good when they've won historically with Aaron Boone. And there have been times, most of the time what's happened when they've fallen short the last decade with Aaron Boone or last 6 or 7 years with Aaron Boone is they get punched in the face and they don't know how to respond.
Well, I think when you're looking at it, the decisions that Aaron Boone makes tonight are going to be a tail sign of, is he feeling the pressure of not only being the Yankee manager for a long time, but not being able to get over the hump. And with the guards, there is no pressure right now. The pressure was on them last night. They had to win last night to be able to start this series back over. There's no way that the Guardians were going to win four games in a row. Impossible, right? There's only been one time that happened. And yes, it was against the Yankees when Boston Red Sox did it. But if you go down 3-0 last night, very, very improbable that they go and they win tonight and they win the next game and then they go back to New York to win the two. So last night, biggest game probably of a lot of the players' lives, you know, in postseason play. But it also shows that they're not going to give up. They were down to their last strike, last out, and they did their job.
Well, and there is the duality of this on both sides. And it doesn't mean just one side showing up means this series has changed inevitably here. What I think is so fascinating about this matchup is it's now, psychologically, how do the Yankees recover from Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton winning that game,
yep,
and then it not being enough? Because I think that's fascinating. And then from the Guardian side, you know, you're now in this series with a chance to bring this thing even tonight. And I don't think Steven Vogt's been great in this series. I think he's been aggressive. He's been who he is, but when he's made the decisions, they've not been favorable decisions, like Cantillo in that game one, or Will Brennan as a pinch hitter in game one. And Jose still hasn't found his moment.
Right.
Josh Naylor. And like, you can make the case that Judge and Stanton had their moments last night.
Well, they've had their moments.
But Jose and Naylor still haven't.
Right. Well, I would go back to look at Jose Ramirez, though, against Luke Weaver, hitting the home run. I know it didn't matter a whole lot. It brought the game to 6-3, but it still shows that he is capable of doing damage. Josh Naylor, on the other hand, he hasn't done anything yet. He had a great play at first base last night. He was able to stay on the bag late in the game. But offensively, he has been non-existent. If he can stay in the zone, stop swinging at pitches out of the zone, have a better approach, it makes this lineup so much more deadlier. And then I don't think Steven at that point has to make rash decisions later in the game.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to this. I'm just so excited to see how the Guardians react tonight. because there is going to come a moment. I listen, I'm right there bagging on Josh Naylor just the way everybody else is. He's going to get one. Last night proved that, right? When John Kensi, who is arguably colder than even Naylor, either of the Naylors.
He was a cold Christmas.
I mean, it was the coldest Christmas we've had since before global warming in Cleveland. And and for him to have that moment, it reaffirmed the idea. Naylor's going to get one of these. And hopefully it's in his high leverage moment. And Hosey isn't going to be this cold. I know that there's a lot of numbers there that make you feel uncomfortable because he's your highest paid player and he's your best player and he just hasn't done it yet. Those guys are going to have their moments the longer this series goes, and certainly if you get into the World Series. And I think that's where last night you won without the best night from Stephen Vogt. Actually, Vogt was fine last night. You just ran into Class A. But in you're down two with one, a chance to pull to two here.
Right.
Without deploying some of your best weapons. And I think without the best from Emmanuel Clase, without the best from Tanner Bibee, without Naylor, without Hosey, that should inform the excitement if you get this win tonight, whether that's with those guys leading the way or not. The longer you go without those guys, all of a sudden it takes some of the pressure off them. And all of a sudden those guys wake up and you don't just win this series. That's the kind of thing, both those guys catching fire and everybody else. The guys who got you here finding themselves are exactly the way how you end up going on a World Series run here.
Well, that could easily propel you to a World Series run and a win, you know, and have that ring. But when I look at it right now, you take all the money out of it, right? At this point, payroll does not mean anything. You have one of the highest payrolls, you have one of the lowest payrolls. Does not mean anything. You're getting production just like the Guardians have gotten production all season long. And I talked about it when I first came on the show a few weeks back. I talked about when Jose Ramirez is going good, he's able to turn on that inner pitch. And we saw it in regular season. We haven't seen it so far in the postseason. The Yankees have made adjustments. They started throwing breaking balls on the inner half last night. They started trying to backdoor him, or backfoot him, I mean, with breaking balls, and then shore him up with fastballs. If he starts making adjustments, watch out.
So, while we have that going on, we do have a Browns game coming up on Sunday. And, you know, today's show is predominantly about the Cleveland Guardians. We do have Rajay Davis coming up in 30 minutes' time. Very excited to talk with a guy that hit the big Game 7, the World Series home run. Wasn't the World Series winner, but, man, it felt like it in the moment. We are trying to get Jason Pinkston here, but... You know, this game on Sunday is really about a couple things. Here, one, it's the homecoming for the Cleveland Browns. And I don't know that there's a team that needs a win more in football. And I'm talking about college, high school, pros, than the Cleveland Browns coming home. But it's the return of Nick Chubb. And this is a reactionary game. How does the team respond to the Amari Cooper trade? Does it light a fire, or is it the thing that shovels more dirt on this season? And to talk about that, we head out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And welcome on former Browns offensive lineman Jason Pinkston. Pink, are you as involved in this Guardian series as we are right now?
I you know what, I am. I was glued to the TV for the last couple games, and it was absolutely incredible. One of the best baseball games I've ever watched.
I got to ask you, because I'm glad you said that. Because you're a football player, this does not have to be specifically a baseball question. But I love when everybody shares what their favorite or their opinion on the best game, the best playoff game ever is. For you, what would that be?
See, I've been to, not played in many playoff games, but I've got to watch some playoff football. I'm going to have to go with hockey. Hockey playoffs are absolutely incredible. I've seen multiple of the Penguins, series of their playoff games. I have to give it to hockey, man. Hockey is probably one of my favorite, and I would have to say football second and then baseball, honestly.
Pink, that hurts my heart right there, man, saying baseball third.
To a baseball player, no less.
No, but I would agree wholeheartedly. Hockey playoffs, I played a lot in Buffalo and got to see the Sabres when they were really, really good. And hockey playoffs are unbelievable. The fans go absolutely berserk. It's crazy. So I agree wholeheartedly with you. Getting back over to football, though, you look at this Browns team, 1-5. They've struggled all season on the offensive line. You being a former offensive lineman, is it difficult to interact or interchange positions when guys are struggling?
It is. If you're not very familiar with it, it's hard to just switch. I mean, we always live by that next man up mentality, and you have to be able to play multiple positions. And it's something that you're not comfortable doing it, but you do it. It's your job, and that's what is required of you to be on this team and this roster. And you have to go out there and try to do your best at it. I mean, you might not be the best, but it is what it is. We still got to try to win the football game and put ourselves in the best position. And if we think that the best position for you is right guard this week and maybe right tackle the following week, then that's what we have to do. But these guys are professionals. I will say I think there's just been some struggles there with the change in personnel and coaching style. And that's all a part of it. Injuries are all a part of it. But we got to put people in the best spots to win the game.
What does the return of Nick Chubb to the field for the Browns on Sunday mean for this team?
It's everything, man. That's our leader of the team. I caught it earlier this week, his release. His press release, and it was just fantastic. Obviously, we know what the city feels for Nick Chubb and what the guys in the locker room feel for him. I don't think he's going to go out there and get us 25 carries and rush for 200 yards and lead us to victory. I'd be happy to see him. I'm honestly just happy to see him run out of that locker room, come out that tunnel again. You know, I mean, he's been through so much with his legs, his knees, from college to Cleveland. Hopefully that excites the guys and get them back in the right mind frame to ignore everything else that's going on and let's just focus on this and beating the Bengals. I'm so happy for Nick Chubb. I love that guy.
Pink, if you're looking at this team, would you be, and if you were still playing, would you be excited about a new stadium, or would you love continuing to play on the lakefront?
You know what? I have mixed feelings on that, man. I love that atmosphere of playing down on the lake, you know, those cold winter months and it's that snow's whipping and the wind's whipping down there. But I do like what a new facility brings to the team, to the city. That whole Brook Park area is beautiful. I saw the design of the stadium. It looks phenomenal. There's so much more that they'd be able to do in Cleveland and Ohio, I should say. I know people are kind of upset about the Brook Park or Cleveland. That's all relevant. Everyone in that city has a feelings towards it. And you know what? They may be right or wrong one way or the other, but I think it brings so much more for that town that, you know, you can do NCAA basketball tournament, all kind of different things that'll generate revenue for the team, the city. So I'm kind of mixed. I really do. I did love driving down to the lake and seeing that water splashing, and it's cold, and you know all the fans walking across that bridge. That's incredible. There's a lot of good memories there.
All right, Pink, we got about 30 seconds here. If the Browns continue on this one-win journey through the trade deadline, should that open up their minds to exploring the trade value of Myles Garrett? 30 seconds, bud.
No, I honestly hope not. He, like Nick Chubb, is another guy that city needs as someone that they can look up to, and he's big in the community. I would hope not selfishly, but I would understand business-wise maybe that you'd take a peek at it and see what you can get. Now, I don't want to see that guy. I really don't want to see that guy go put on another uniform and have to play against that dude. That's one bad dude. He's a one-in-a-lifetime talent. But, you know, if someone throws you, hey, we're going to give you 3 first-round draft picks, maybe you try to save ourselves from the, you know, the situation we now end up in with losing all those picks, and who knows what happens. But I would hope not.
Pink, you are excellent as always, buddy. I'm not even going to ask you for prediction on Sunday until they win again, because I don't want to do that to you or your psyche, but we appreciate you, buddy, and enjoy the Guardians playoffs, and hopefully we get a good game on Sunday too.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Go Guards.
All right, go Guards, buddy. Jason Pinkston there in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going to react to what he had to say about the return of Nick Chubb next on 92.3 The Fan.